The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The June swoon continues, and let's start with Cam Schlittler first, because he's been unbelievable this year. But when you're the ace of a staff, and he is, I mean, it's a tremendous staff. Certainly, they don't have Max Fried right now. But when you consider how great Cam Schlittler has been this year, and when you consider how bad the Yankees have been, really across the board over the last week or so, but in particular that series in Boston, and now it has bled over to this series against Detroit. This is one of those nights where, and I understand the hitting's been awful, but you bring your ace out on the mound and you expect him to throw up some zeros. You expect a really strong start. And Cam Schlittler was bad, just downright awful, and gave up a bunch of home runs early on, and he just didn't have his stuff. And, you know, aces are supposed to stop the bleeding. They're supposed to stop losing streaks. And even when your offense is struggling, even when your defense has not been good, even when your entire team is scuffling, and, you know, mentally the Yankees right now are just not where you want to be. And Sunday night, and I wondered out loud, because that was a huge gut punch. That was one of those losses that could have a carryover effect. But you know what? Momentum in baseball, right? Starting pitching. And Cam Schlittler, when you have that type of guy on the mound, especially when you're going up against Skubal, the last thing you want to do is give up a crooked numbers early on, and that's what Cam Schlittler did, and it kind of put the Yankees behind the eight ball, and just with the way they're struggling right now, they didn't have enough to get back into the game. Listen to this stat. You know, speaking of the offense, which is just, and the Yankees have been around a very long time, so keep that in mind when I give you this, because they've obviously been around forever, and when you've been around forever, look, sometimes you have stats that are just off the charts in a good way, in a positive way, and then sometimes you make history in a negative way. Obviously, the Yankees have lost six straight games, right? This is Chris Kirschner tweeted this out. They have 16 hits in their last five games, the lowest number of hits over a five-game span in franchise history. So this is the worst the Yankee offense has been in a five-game stretch in franchise history. So the offense obviously is not getting it done. And life without Aaron Judge, which the Yankees made look easy early on. And I think that's a credit to them. But life without Aaron Judge is not easy, especially when it's going to be for a long period of time. And then you couple into that, hey, Grisham's out, Stanton's out, Bellinger's struggling. I know Rice got it going a little bit tonight, but he's been struggling. And as great as Goldschmidt and Rosario have been, and they're veterans, they're going to give you professional at-bats, there's only so much you can expect from guys like that. You know, Paul Goldschmidt's already almost given you a season worth of numbers. Rosario's had already a bunch of big moments. You just can't lean on guys like that really throughout. This is where Bellinger and Rice and Volpe and, dare I say, somebody that plays catcher for this team have to step up. And now Jazz is out, and he's still going through concussion protocol. At first, it sounded like he might be back tonight, then he wasn't back, and emergency only. He could return to the lineup, and we'll see for tomorrow. But Jazz is obviously still going through it after he collided with Dominguez's bicep. And whenever a face collides with a bicep, the bicep always wins. The offense has just been absolutely atrocious. Again, I'll give it to you one more time here. Chris Kirschner tweeted this out. Obviously, the Yankees have lost six straight games. The Yanks have 16 hits in their last five games. 16 hits, including what, they were no-hit in the first four innings of every game in that Red Sox series. And obviously, Sonny Gray took a no-hitter into the eighth on Sunday night. The Yankees have 16 hits in their last five games, the lowest number of hits over a five-game span in franchise history. Franchise history. And Cam Schlittler needs to be better. As great as he's been this year, and look, he's still young, and he'll grow into this as far as being that stud, being that stopper, being that ace, but when you have the type of stuff that Cam has, this is the kind of night where you have to put your foot down. I don't care how bad the offense is, and you say, you know what, we're going to win 1-0 tonight. I know we're facing Scooble. I know we're not hitting. I know we're not scoring runs, but I'm going to give you 7-8 shutout innings, and we're going to win the game 1-0. But that just shows you how bad things are for the Yankees right now. I mean, last night, Bellinger's dropping fly balls, and you can't find a better defensive outfielder than Cody Bellinger, and he's making errors. Caballero, who's normally a terrific fielder, he was making errors last night, and here you have your ace, your stud on the mound, Cam Schlittler, and right out of the gate, he was bad, awful, and he was just non-competitive, and the Yankees were already in rough shape going into this game, and then after a couple innings, they were in rough shape tonight. And when you're not playing well in all facets of the game, the last thing you need is when you put your ace on the mound for him to come out and be awful. It's just not a position that you want to find yourself when the offense is historically bad right now. Historically bad, which, understandable. You know, I did all of that to get to the conclusion here, and it's the message that I had last night. This is a June swoon. It's a typical June swoon, though. You expect this with Aaron Boone managed teams. You know, in some ways, the Yankees are like a theme park ride, especially if you've been on that theme park ride a lot. You know what's coming around the bend. You know what is going to happen almost at every checkpoint throughout the year. Yankees get off to a fast start. Check. Yankees have a June swoon. Check. Yankees get hot in August and September. Check. Yankees make it to October. Check. I mean, that's really the theme park ride that the Yankees have been under Aaron Boone. And then when you get to October, unfortunately, they've had the same results, you know, year in and year out as far as not winning a championship. But there is where you get a little bit of variance. But as far as the 162, I mean, this is to be expected. Now, it's historically bad, but also you got a couple in the point of view that, or the fact that Aaron Judge is not in the lineup. Stanton's not in the lineup. Grisham's not in the lineup. Bellinger has been struggling. Rice has been struggling. And I said this when Aaron Judge got hurt. And this is as far as Ben Rice is what is now on his plate. It's one thing, and this is to take nothing away. Let me be clear here. Ben Rice, I predicted him to hit 40 home runs. I think he's a pillar for this team along with Schlittler. I think they're going to be unbelievable to be those two guys really carrying this team as the, like I said, pillars once Judge is more at the back end of his career and eventually retires. But it's a different animal to be the guy. It's a different animal to not have Aaron Judge hitting behind you. It's a different animal to carry a team. It's a different animal when you are the guy, both as far as after the game and during the game. And that's what makes Aaron Judge so great, is that in the biggest market, with all this pressure, Aaron Judge is able to put up MVP numbers year in and year out. We understand October, it hasn't always been perfect. It certainly hasn't been what Yankee fans expect in terms of a championship and the type of production that Aaron Judge has in the regular season. But still, 162. They used to say this about Peyton Manning. Oh, Peyton Manning, he never wins in the playoffs. Well, he wins 13 games a year, which is not exactly easy. So I think it's a testament to Aaron Judge about the regular season and how hard it is to navigate not only the waters of New York, but also to put up the numbers he puts up. But Ben Rice is finding out right now. And look, slumps happen, but a slump from Ben Rice is happening at the wrong time. And I understand he got going a little bit tonight, but still, you know, overall, even though he put one over the fence tonight, he's got 23 on the year, so he's well on his way to my 40 home run prediction. When the Yankees or any team, right, is going through what is happening right now, a June swoon, a losing streak, the offense is historically bad, and I'll give it to you one more time. Chris Kirschner tweeted this out. The Yankees have 16 hits in their last five games, the lowest number of hits over a five-game span in their franchise history.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
So it's been really bad. It's been really bad. And it's one of those things where you can't get it going. And the slumps highlighted by Rice, who has just not been getting it going, really has put this team behind the eight ball. But it just shows you that when you are looked at as the guy, when it's all on your shoulders, it's a lot more difficult to produce. Now, this is much like Cam Schlittler. This is a learning experience for Ben Rice. He'll only grow and get better from this, but it's reality. It's a harsh dose of reality, life without Aaron Judge, not only in the lineup, but his presence in the locker room. And by the way, same thing with Stanton. I mean, I think Stanton is so grossly underrated on a million levels. I think he's underappreciated, and I'm not by the masses, but I think just in some ways he's underappreciated. I don't think his teammates underappreciate him, but there are Yankee fans, I think, that underappreciate Stanton. And I understand the summer sabbaticals. He's like the rest of us. He takes summer vacations. But when it comes to October, he's one of the best Yankee postseason performers in history, which is saying something when you consider the players and the legends that have put on the pinstripes. But not only that, Stanton's, as far as his leadership, he is a major force in that locker room in terms of a leader. So when you don't have your captain, when you don't have one of your big-time leaders in now that would obviously be Judge as far as the captain, and then one of your other big-time leaders as far as Stanton, that's a lot that you're missing. That's a lot. And it's a lot to put on the shoulders of Ben Rice. And Paul Goldschmidt, who is now in a slump, he's been unbelievable this year. But you're asking a lot from Goldschmidt. You're asking a lot from Rosario as far as these veteran guys that have given you more than you could ever expect at this point in the year. But Volpe is not doing what he needs to do. Bellinger, right there with Rice, because you expect those two now to carry the mantle. But Rice, a little bit above Bellinger, but Bellinger certainly shouldn't get a free pass here. Caballero hasn't been good, and the Yankees have gotten literally zero production out of catcher. Zero. Zero. Whether it's Austin Wells or whoever they put there, and that's why I'm going to continue to bang the drum. You know, you want to give me a Scooble till the day is long as far as a trade target. For me, it's Hunter Goodman. We're talking about a right-handed bat, one of the best offensive catchers in the sport. Now, we'll see where Colorado's at in terms of if they want to deal him or not, but if he becomes available and the Yankees make the right offer, he's a guy that has a little bit of a control with his contract, young player, ton of power. He's got 25 home runs, at least that's as of yesterday. He had 31 last year, so he's on pace for over 40 home runs this year. I mean, that's a lot for a catcher. He's got more home runs than Austin Wells has RBIs. The Yankees have to make a major upgrade at catcher. And the one thing, because I'll end with this and we'll take your calls coming up. But this was my message last night, and it's my message again tonight. So we laid out all the bad there. We laid out all the negative. And the Rays are obviously playing great baseball. And look, it's been a roller coaster ride. At first, it looked like Tampa was going to run away with it going into Memorial Day weekend. And then all of a sudden, Aaron Judge, it's a walk-off on Sunday. Yankees take off, Rays go in the opposite direction. The Yankees start to build a lead in the division, and the Rays were playing like just like crap, and it looked like the Yankees were going to have an easy summer with their feet up en route to a division title. Now, all of a sudden, things have completely flipped. The Rays have gotten red hot, the Yankees are ice cold, and now the Rays are up 4 games in the loss column. And the Yankees are sliding and sliding and sliding in their June swoon, and it's about to be July in an hour, right? 30 days have September, April, June. Yes, correct. 1 hour, it will be July 1st. I say all that negative out there. Here's the positive. It was my message last night. It's my message tonight. The Yankees are the best team in the American League. They're going to the World Series. They're missing big pieces of their team right now. And that's tough for any team to overcome. But once this team gets healthy, and obviously Rice is going to wake up, Bellinger is going to wake up, there are things that Brian Cashman's going to have to do at the deadline, but I expect him to do that. I expect him to add a catcher. He has to. I expect him to add another bat. I mean, if Caballero continues to slump, and we know McMahon is just not very good, they're going to have to be in the market for a third baseman. They're going to have to be. And obviously, you could put Caballero at shortstop, because if Volpe's going to continue to perform like this, I mean, I view him more now as a utility guy anyway. Jazz, in theory, would come back soon, but you never know with concussions. I mean, stuff like that could last a lot longer. No situation. Well, not that he has a concussion. He's going through concussion protocol. So when anybody is going through concussion protocol, you just don't know how long that's going to last. It's different for everybody. Yankees also have to add a couple of relievers, but Brian Cashman is going to have to be active like he was last year. I expect him to be that. But when it's all said and done, the final polished product of the Yankees, I expect that team to go to the World Series. Because I think they're extremely talented. They have a tremendous starting rotation. And the American League is very, very weak. So as bad as things are right now, and if you're upset, you're aggravated, you're frustrated, I understand that. I'm here for you over the next couple hours. But my message will be this team is going to the World Series. This is just a June swoon, and they are very banged up. So the combination of that, the perfect storm of that, has led to this poor play. And I really don't have a strong prediction on when it's going to end because it started late. It could bleed into, you know, mid-July. It really could. And you just hope the Rays don't run and hide. Because I do think winning the division is extremely important because Aaron Boone, when he has home field in these October matchups, advantage Aaron Boone and the Yankees. When he doesn't, it's a problem. And also Tampa, which can give the Yankees fits anyway because they put the ball in play. Small ball, speed, all the things that can give the Yankees trouble. You also have the Tropicana field situation and factor where it's like playing miniature golf. You got to hit the ball through the clown's mouth and it's, you got a catwalk. You got the electricity goes off. There's a million things going on over there. And they use it, find your happy place. It's just one of those situations that's very difficult to overcome when you're the opponent. And the Yankees have had their issues down there. It's been a house of horrors. We'll get back to those calls in just 1 second. But first, the Fan Focus. It's presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. Yanks, losers of 6 in a row. And it's about bad starts in these games. You know, the Yankees have not been getting a lot of hits, period. But certainly through the first 4 innings of these games, they have been just outplayed dramatically, including in the last 5 being outscored 23-1 in the first 4 innings, which is obviously getting behind the 8-ball. It's putting you in a situation which gives you a very tall mountain to climb. And when you're not hitting and you get behind early in these games, you're going to be in big trouble. And that's why the Yankees are on a 6-game losing streak. They haven't been hitting. They haven't been pitching. They haven't been fielding. Really bad in all facets of the game. That's the bad news. The good news is I still think they're the best team in the American League. I still think they're going to the World Series when you consider the talent the Yankees have. And they're missing so much. I mean, when you don't have your best player, and that best player is one of the great players in the sport, it's really difficult to win. And the Yankees did a good job of that early on. I mean, they were like, I think 13-8 early on without Aaron Judge, and the wheels have fallen off right now, and a lot of it is Judge, and also the pitching hasn't been there. And look, Cam Schlittler, as great as he's been, and I think he's unbelievable. He's built different. I think he's the best pitcher in the American League. He didn't have it tonight. And when you are an ace, when you have a losing streak like the Yankees have and you're playing bad baseball over this last 10, 11, 12 games, when you have your ace on the mound, you need him to stop the bleeding. You need him to, especially against a guy like Skubal, you got to win a game 1-0. You got to win a game 2-1. You can't have the start that Schlittler had where he's given up a ton of long balls. And look, the weather's going to heat up. It's going to be difficult to pitch at Yankee Stadium because hot weather equals home runs, and it's already a very hitters-friendly ballpark. But you need more out of Cam Schlittler. Will Warren on the mound tomorrow. He's been going through it a little bit. Day game, Yankees have to bounce back. He's got to bounce back, and somebody's got to stop the bleeding. And sometimes all it takes is one home run, one big outing from your starting pitching, one come from behind victory. And I think if Sunday night the Yankees had won, it would have flipped things. I think they might have won the first 2 games, but that was such a gut punch against the Red Sox. You almost would have rather have gotten no hit. You almost would have rather had Sonny Gray, and I know Yankee fans can't stand the sight of Sonny Gray, and I understand why. But you almost rather have him pitch a no-hitter than have what transpired on Sunday Night Baseball, which is you break up the no-hitter, you get 2 runs off of Chapman, you get a lead in the 10th inning, a 2-run lead, which I'd say 75% of the time that's good enough to win you the game. You end up giving up 3 runs in the bottom of the 10th. And now you have to travel back home, no day off. It's just a gut punch, a kick to the goyuns, and for a team right now that doesn't have their leaders, the big time one, you know, Judge and Stanton, and your top players that are left are struggling. Really, everybody's struggling. I mean, it's hard to find anybody that's doing anything, but you look towards a Rice, and I know he had a home run tonight, but overall he's been bad in his last, whatever, 50 at-bats. Bellinger has been bad, and you're not getting any help from Caballero, from Volpe. Catcher, I mean, you might as well, I don't know, you might as well have a cactus back there at this point. You can't get any type of production out of anybody. It's so bad. Hunter Goodman, I'll continue to say his name until I'm told that the Rockies are not interested in moving him. The Yankees, Brian Cashman, have to make a, forget upgrade, because anybody would be an upgrade, but a major upgrade at catcher. They also need another infielder. They need a couple of relievers. When they get healthy and they make those moves at the deadline, which I expect them to do, they will be the best team in baseball. They will go to the World Series. So as bad as it is right now, I do think there is certainly light at the end of the tunnel. But it's that June swoon. It's an Aaron Boone-managed team. I don't have an answer for it. I don't know why the Yankees always get off to a hot start. They always struggle in June, and then they get red hot at the end of the year. You'd have to ask them. I know it's my job to figure this stuff out, I guess, but I don't have an answer to it. If we could sit here and try to be a therapist and try to be a doctor and diagnose this, perhaps it is one of those situations where there's almost a laissez-faire type of country club atmosphere, and it's a 162. The Yankees are in October every year. They're in the postseason every year, and we get to this point in the year, the midway point, and the team just kind of lackadaisically goes through it. And then when they know they got to put the big boy pants on at the end of the year, that's when they wake up. I don't know if that's true, but that's one theory. But it's becoming such a pattern now. And it's not like they're dreadful in June every year, but they're not as good as they are to start the years and end the years, seasons. So something is up, and there is something to that. Let's go to Rich in Oyster. Rich is talking to somebody else. All good. We'll get to Rich in a second here. Let's go to Antonio in Brooklyn here on After Hours. What's up, Antonio?
What's up, man? How you doing tonight?
Hey, what's going on?
I mean, I tried to be positive yesterday about everything. After tonight, I can't. I'm just practically ripping my hair out in the truck at work. It's not even how we're losing six games in a row. I wouldn't mind if we lost six games in a row, but at least in the games, we're losing four in a row to the Red Sox, who are last in the division right now. The offense can't seem to hit a ball if there's a gun through their head. Bellinger, as bad as he's been, desperately needed a rest day. He does way too much overall for the team, especially with Judge gone.
Yes, he does.
Schlittler, I know he'll... Bad day for him, but he'll be back. He'll
totally
be fine.
Yep.
It's just the hitting.
Yeah, and listen, some of it...
There's nothing to produce.
Yeah, some of it you could chalk up to obviously Aaron Judge being out and Stanton being out, but look, they're going to have to... Volpe's not an answer. McMahon's not an answer. Wells is not an answer. You got to make, if you're Brian Cashman, major upgrades at the deadline for some of these infield positions. You just have to. And also in the back of your mind, you have to say, boy, we've gotten so much production out of Goldschmidt and Rosario. It's hard to think that that's going to be the case throughout the year. So they need reinforcements, especially offensively. I'm with you. I'm not worried about the pitching as far as the starting rotation. And then obviously the offense gets a boost once Judge returns. But you know what? He's not coming back next week. It's going to be a while here, and that's why... And when he does come back, you still have these other positions that are kind of holes in the lineup. But that's where Brian Cashman just has to put his GM pants on and make some deals at the deadline.
Exactly. I mean, I'm looking at tomorrow's game not as a must...
Yeah, I can't say it as a must win
the game,
but I hear you.
You need to compete.
Yeah. Yeah. You like to see them play in a good game in all four facets. Look, if they get beat 6-5 and Detroit was just better tomorrow, that happens. You tip your cap. You don't want it to happen during a six-game losing streak. But you want to see the Yankees, like you said, compete, because mentally right now they just seem like a beaten squad, and they kind of need that spark, which is missing. And if they get it, look, on Sunday they had it, but then they lost it, and now I think they almost take three steps backwards because of that gut punch to the Red Sox or from the Red Sox.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I'm just, the main thing I'm really trying to fix is getting Wells immediately shipped off.
Yeah, yeah. Immediately. Yeah, it's a no-brainer, right? I mean, he is. It's hard to fathom. I would have said before the season it would be impossible for him to have these type of numbers. Here we are on July 1st, but he's made it possible. He has, what, 10 RBIs? It's unfathomable when you consider he's a starting catcher for the Yankees and plays in a hitter's park, and he has the type of numbers that he has.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.
Yeah, I mean, back to 2021, as much as the biggest Cody Bellinger defender I ever was, Austin Wells is looking to put up worse numbers than Bellinger did in L.A. in 2021, where he batted 167 at the end of the year.
Right. Yeah, it's entering Josh Donaldson, Joey Gallo, Gary Sanchez. That's the territory we're getting into here, where it's just over for him here. I know Aaron Boone remains positive, and I appreciate positivity. I do, but the Yankees know it. Aaron Boone knows it. Wells is finished, and they got to make a major upgrade at that position.
Yeah, I think Boone needs to wake up a little. I mean, every time you see the Talking Yanks podcast, where they interview him every week. Every reason to defend Volpe, it's crazy.
The Volpe defense is almost, and like I said, as positive Tommy, I do appreciate that. I appreciate the mental gymnastics, but Volpe is, that's why, Antonio, I was stunned that he being Boone, had such an issue with Jazz Chisholm and the Lollipop. Meanwhile, 100%. He'll defend some of these players to the end of time, but over a Lollipop he was upset. I mean, it's hard to believe that was the hill he died on. But yes, he will defend Anthony Volpe by all means necessary.
Yeah, the Lollipop clip still stunned me after a week before he was trying to find at-bats with Volpe that just didn't exist, where he was squaring up good ones. But then a Lollipop that's being distributed by the dugout is the issue.
Correct. It's already in the dugout, and I appreciate the call, Antonio. And this is why some of the people, I think this is why Anthony Volpe had, there is some rejection there, because they feel like there's baseball nepotism with him. They feel like that he is the golden boy, the chosen one, and no matter what he does or doesn't do or whatever, he's constantly defended by the organization. I don't have an answer for that one either, but I know this, Anthony Volpe's not playing well right now, that's for sure, but he's not alone. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. But look, when Aaron Judge misses long periods of time, the Yankees are not the team that you expect them to be, which is completely understandable, but it just shows you the greatness. Look, sometimes you take for granted how great Aaron Judge is, because he is a machine, because he is incredible every year. You take it for granted. You don't mean to, but you do. And then when he's not around, you just realize how important he is. And look, he wasn't on the mound tonight. Schlittler was. Aaron Judge has certainly been responsible for June Swoon's. But the offense, the lack of production, I'll read you the stat again. The Yankees have 16 hits in their last five games, the lowest number of hits over a five-game span in franchise history. Franchise history! So this is historically bad. It just shows you that Aaron Judge means so much to this team, and you know it, but sometimes you take it for granted. Let's go to, where do I want to go here? Oh, Rich is back with us in Oyster Bay. Hey, what's up, Rich?
Hey, Tommy, how are you, man? We spoke last week about the Lollipop and all that kind of stuff with Chaz, and I get it, man. Yeah, it wasn't the end of the world, but I did mention that we were coming off a losing streak at that point. We happened to win that game.
Yes.
The next game after the Lollipop.
Yeah, look, Jazz had the big home run.
I get it. Listen, I'm not trying to, I'm not arguing with you, but what I'm telling you, I'm a Yankee fan, and, you know, the June Swoon and everyone like thinking it's acceptable and it's just a thing that happens, it's absolutely unacceptable.
Fair
take. So it may have been like Boone trying to say like what he saw in the locker room when he pointed out Chaz. He's got no control. Did you, and also the whole thing about, you had mentioned like, the June swoon, you have to expect this from an Aaron Boone managed team. This is the only team that Aaron Boone has managed. So I don't accept it. I don't accept it at all. And it shouldn't be accepted. Secondly, like, oh, yes, I understand, like you said, Giancarlo Stanton, like, historically has phenomenal numbers in the postseason.
Yeah, and he's a great clubhouse guy.
No, he is. And listen, I like Giancarlo Stanton. I'm not telling you I don't. I like him on the field.
I feel a butt coming.
I don't care. No. I don't care about what he's doing or what his influence may be in the locker room. I like him on the field. And Judge, the savior, and everybody wants to go back to Judge. Aaron Judge. This guy has done zip. It's all about the rings. I get it, man. He hits home runs.
Right, but you're also talking about a June swoon.
No, he smiles.
We're talking about the regular season.
All the right games. No. He's always at the right spots and this and that. He is a freaking paper champion.
Yeah, but why is this the conversation?
No, it's not Rich.
It's not the Rich show. It's the Tommy show. So,
it's a freaking thing.
Yeah, you all right. This is what I mean, though. You're not hosting. I am. So we're either going to have a conversation. I understand that you want to get your rant out on the air, but Rich, we're...
Positive response.
Imagine he doesn't realize he's on hold, ladies and gentlemen. He's still going. This is what I have to deal with sometimes. I get it. You think you're a radio host. You think you're going to come on the air and just rant and rave, and we're not going to have a conversation. And if you're ranting and it's a good rant, I'll keep you on. But when you're just talking nonsense here, because we're this is June swoon here time. They're going through it, and you're talking about Aaron Judge's performance in the postseason. Let's see. Let's check it back in on Rich here. Rich, are you with us?
I'm still with you, man, and I get you.
Yeah, but you're not letting me interject. You're just talking
all right,
and talking
interject.
And talking.
I apologize.
But why are you worried about what Aaron Judge does in October? This team has lost six straight in a row. They miss him. We're talking about the regular season, and you're worried about what Aaron Judge does in October. That's a story for another day.
No, but my point is this. Like, everyone says, oh, they're missing Aaron Judge, and they're missing this. The point about, yes, Aaron Judge can come back and make the regular season a solid. He's not crowned anything because he hasn't won anything, in my head.
He hasn't won anything, he's won MVPs, so he helps you out in the regular season.
That doesn't do anything for me. I don't give a shit. I don't care about...
I think... Honestly, dude. You're all over the map! You just said a June swoon isn't acceptable. Then you don't have a ring. I just told you if Aaron Judge is here, you probably would be winning some of these games. You said a June swoon is unacceptable. I think he did drop it there, but we got rid of it. We got rid of it. Both Nico and I both hit it. And I would have kept you on, Rich, because you were talking yourself into a pretzel and I was finding it entertaining. You have an agenda, which is fine, but you do. You're not really reacting to what happened tonight over the last couple games. You just have a Yankee agenda as far as a fan, which is fine. But for tonight, for you to be all over the map... is just, you got to reel yourself in a little bit, and you can't be cursing. Look, we're all victims of it. I've probably cursed a few times on the air, which is fine, but we dump it. And sometimes it's hard, but you have to just be a little bit poised. At first you said you don't care about a June swoon, and then you jump to October, and yeah, I get it. You got to win a championship. Just bookmark this conversation when the Yankees are in the World Series in October, because I expect them to be there. And if Aaron Judge doesn't perform, then Rich, you can call back. I'm sure we'll hear from you before that. And Rich is probably still having a conversation with himself off the air now. We can discuss Aaron Judge and his struggles in October, which I've been overly critical of, and I've gotten a lot of heat for that, and I think that there's a time and place to be critical of Aaron Judge and his October postseason failures. I just don't think it's tonight when he's out of the lineup and has been out of the lineup and will be out of the lineup, and the team has lost six in a row, and they have 16 hits in their last five games, and they're getting no hit through every first four innings basically every single night. I think this would be the time to appreciate Aaron Judge. Because, and now I'm going to start sounding like McMonagle, but so what? If you didn't have Aaron Judge, this is what you'd be. You wouldn't be winning all these games every year. I know, you haven't had a parade. But you know what? You have a season every year, and you go to a postseason every season. And I get it. It breeds being people that are spoiled. That is an argument and a conversation for down the road, not for tonight. I can't fathom how you could have that kind of take tonight. I know just the person to calm things down, but you know what? We do need to do in the spirit of the World Cup, because they call it a hydration break, because you can't say breaks in radio. Well, you can, I mean, but the upper management doesn't like when you do that. Program directors will get all in a tizzy. You can't say break. The audience will leave. They know. First of all, my audience, our audience, they're very intelligent. They know we go to breaks. They know we have commercial breaks. There's nothing we can do about it. We just want to be great that they know that, hey, they'll stick around. And who wouldn't stick around for me? After that phone call, if I'm a listener right now, I can't wait to hear what's next. That was a doozy. I could hear Fliegelman screaming in my ear right now with that caller. And he's probably in the car right now laughing at that joke. That's a Fliegelman screaming in my ear type of call. Actually, Fliegelman would have been yelling at him off air, too. That was good. But later on in the show, basketball as well as free agency has started. LeBron James will have a new home in 2027. There was a major superstar traded in the NBA. We'll give you all the details on that. And we're keeping an eye out on Mitchell Robinson here. Hopefully the Knicks end up retaining him. But there's a lot of moves going on. And if something breaks, certainly that is literally a player on one of the locals, or one of the players either staying, leaving, or it affects one of the locals, we will bring that news to you as soon as we see it. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan. Let's go to Phil in Sheepshead Bay. What's up, Phil?
Hey, head on. Hey. We're not living in Shangri-La, but this guy's completely off the wall. I'm going to make a few points. You know, most players, and I say any team of 26, everybody goes through life. There are streaks.
Yeah.
We're in a bad streak. We're not picking each other up. Eventually, that's going to turn around. Now, in mankind, you have to have hope for them. Otherwise, we'd be living in a world of negativism, which I don't go for anyway.
Yeah, I don't.
Nobody needs Ajita. You know what I mean?
No, nobody needs Ajita. Definitely not, Phil.
This guy that was on with you, he could create a little molehill into a volcano, not even a mountain.
Yeah, Phil is referring to a caller we had last segment who just... the way I diagnosed that in the break, I put a Dr. Tommy hat on, is that is a frustrated Yankee fan because they haven't won a championship in a long time. So that's just airing the frustrations of all of that out there instead of just sort of diagnosing what is currently happening to them.
Right. Well, my other point is the catching.
Yeah.
We have to come up with a guy who's going to put the ball in play and get hits. Crucial times. I know you know that. I know that. And I hope the Yankee front office knows that.
They do. They do.
Because sometimes you look at the winter and what's happening with the Yankees, they don't make too many moves anymore. And I'm hoping that doesn't carry over to the trade deadline. I'm going to leave you with that. Have a good evening. Stay well. Bye now.
You too. Good to hear from you, Phil. Well, look, they were very active. The Yankees were at the trade deadline last year, and they were active this offseason. It's just the moves they made were bringing players back to their team and sort of running it back from the year that they had last year as far as their roster. I do anticipate Brian Cashman being extremely, extremely active at the deadline. They need a catcher. I think they need another infielder as well. They need several relievers. I would not trade for Skubal. I've made that crystal clear. I think despite what you've seen tonight from Schlittler, despite what you've seen over the last couple starts from Gerrit Cole, the strength of this team, Warren's been going through it. Rodon, you never really know what you're going to get, but the strength of this team is their starting rotation. There are other areas of need, and that's where I would use my assets if I was Cashman. On that, on a catcher, another infielder, a couple of relievers. That's the direction I would go. 888-80, as shiny a toy and as sexy as Skubal is, and I know if you, oh, well, that's what Steinbrenner or George would do. It's the extra mile move. And it's about having a complete baseball team. It's not necessarily about going the extra mile here. You know, off season with spending money, you want to go the extra mile? Absolutely, especially when you consider the competition that you have. I mean, you want to put the Dodgers right at the top of the list as far as them spending money. But now it's about, all right, what are the areas of need and who can we bring in here in a couple of weeks at the deadline to solve said problems and make this into a more complete baseball team so that, because I think they get through the American League even if they didn't make any trades, but when they get to the Fall Classic again, and I believe they will this year, they have to have that complete team in order to compete with the far superior league, which is the National League. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to James in Rockland County. What's up, James?
Hey, Tommy.
Hey.
How are you?
What's going on? I'm doing good.
I've expressed this, I think, 2 or 3 days ago about Hunter Goodman, mm-hmm. and this is what I was thinking. Well, obviously, you brought him up earlier in the show.
Yep.
Brian Cashman, over the last couple of years, has been hugging prospects like players Austin Wells, for example, Spencer Jones, and not willing to trade them mm-hmm. when the value's at the highest. I think with the right enough offer, the Rockies are no one to say we're not trading Hunter Goodman. Give him the right offer and get him. I don't care what it takes. Imagine a lineup of Goodman, Judge, Rice, Stanton, Bellinger
yeah.
in the postseason. That would be what Austin Wells is horrible. You cannot even play him anymore. You'd better have no one there than just playing Austin Wells. Get Hunter Goodman. He has 26 home runs. He's, in my opinion, the best catcher in baseball.
He's certainly right up there. I mean, look, the numbers he's putting up this year, I mean, even last year at 31 home runs, he's going to probably get near right around 40 or so home runs, big-time power bat, a right-handed power bat. And to your point, even if the Rockies are maybe a little hesitant to move him, this is the opportunity for Brian Cashman to make a big splash with a young player. I think he's under control, has a couple more years left on his deal. So you'd have him. It's not just a rental. And I think that's the right type of move for the Yankees, more so than a Scooble or something like that. They need a big-time catcher, and Goodman certainly fits that bill.
Yeah, he leads, I think he's third in the majors in home runs now. He has 26 home runs. And
no, he doesn't lead the majors in home runs, but he probably
leads. I mean, he's
catchers.
Third in the majors. That's
yeah, or catchers. Yeah, Schwarber's got third.
Yeah, he is by far the best person on the market. Go get trade prospects. There might not be baseball next year. There's nothing to hold your prospect for. Judge is going to be old. Get them now.
Well, okay, a couple things there at the end there. I do think there's going to be baseball next year. I don't know if there's going to be a 162, but I do believe there's going to be baseball. Aaron Judge is getting old, which, I mean, he's in his mid-30s. I know what you mean, baseball old, but he hasn't showed any signs of getting older, so I don't know if you could just say, hey, he's going to be old. Now, look, sometimes overnight you become old, but until Aaron Judge really has one of those, and we're not going to truly find out this year because he's going to miss a large portion of the season, but I think it's, you know, a pretty big leap to say, well, no baseball, Aaron Judge is going to be old, and you're getting ahead of yourself, and you're making leaps. What you did say, though, that was correct is Goodman is one of the best offensive players in the league. He's really the best offensive catcher this year. And you're right, third in home runs, actually tied for second with Alvarez. Schwarber, unbelievably, has 30 home runs for the Phillies. 30. 30. And just to weave the Mets in here a little bit, you know, this is a roster right now in a alternate universe. And I'm not even talking about this offseason. I'm talking about a couple years ago. In an alternate universe, the Mets could have Zach Wheeler and Kyle Schwarber on their team. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is Sean in Old Bridge here on The Fan. What's up, Sean?
Good evening, Loogie. How are we doing?
Hey, what's happening?
I'm doing okay, and in this game, I thought hopefully it would be a turnaround, but of course, it was like the same as last night, more of a disaster, and Schwitter was not on point. Scooble, obviously, was just like dominating the mound, and like I felt like it was just like all offense for the Tigers, honestly.
Yeah, and right out of the gate, too, and that's been a problem for the Yankees over this losing streak, is they're getting themselves in a situation early on where they fall behind and the offense hasn't been there, the defense has been sloppy, and it has been snowballing on them, not only just across this losing streak, but just game by game. I mean, you look up and you have your ace on the mound and he's giving up home runs left and right to start the game, and you got Scooble on the other side and you're not hitting as it is, and it's one of those nights off of a gut-punching loss a couple nights ago and then a loss last night. That's a lot to take in, and that's a lot to overcome, especially when your team is struggling the way they are.
Yeah, it really is, and it's not like I'm trying to, like, I wouldn't lose faith in them right away, because it's I'm dedicated to them.
Oh, as you should be. No, you should absolutely be dedicated. You absolutely should have faith. I mean, it's a tough stretch. Teams go through these stretches. You need them to snap out of it, you know, sooner rather than later, especially with the way Tampa is playing. But if we've learned nothing from this year, or if we've learned anything, is that when the Rays looked like they were about to run away with the division, all of a sudden the Yankees got hot, the Rays got cold, and the Yankees had a lead in the division. Now it's kind of flipped again, but it is a lesson to be learned with baseball that things can change on a dime. As bad as it is right now for the Yankees, all it takes is one win, and they can go on a 7-game winning streak, and we could be sitting here at the All-Star break, and the Yankees are 3 or 4 games up in the division. Absolutely on the table.
Yeah, I think so. Hopefully we can break this losing streak. Obviously the Tampa dominated the Royals today, so that,
as you expect. I mean, Kansas City sucks. Let's just be real. And they are horrible, and they know it. I mean, they're just not a good team. So if you're Tampa or anybody really playing them, you should take full advantage of that matchup, which Tampa is doing right now. And Tampa's right of the ship, and now it's the Yankees' turn to right the ship and break this losing streak. Now, Sean, I wish I could sit here and tell you, hey, it's going to end tomorrow, or I'm not sure because they're playing so bad, and Sunday was such a devastating loss. The Yankees need to put together a couple of wins before I'm ready to say, okay, they've kind of turned the corner from this. I don't know if it's just going to be one win. I mean, I guess maybe a dramatic win might send them on their way, but I'd like to see a little bit of a small winning streak, and then I feel like, okay, they've kind of gotten themselves back to neutral, and then they can get back to work, which is, you know, working their way back up to first place.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And one more thing, I know this is like a little bit small off topic. I saw something on Twitter about about LeBron leaving, but I saw this tweet that Evan did.
What's that?
LeBron in a Brooklyn Nets jersey, the other one was Evan Roberts on a jersey.
Oh, I didn't see that. Let me go check that out. Evan is openly campaigning for LeBron to come to the Nets. Is that what's happening? Is that what you're telling me, bro? Yeah, I gotta take a look at that. Is it Evan that did it, or was it? Because you got to be careful here, because the Evan and Tiki account sort of has a life of its own, sort of has of a brain of its own, and they've gotten Evan in the hot water before. Let me see if it's the Evan, and they got Evan eating a hot dog, or some kids would call it a glizzy. Evan prefers a cold hot dog. I mean, is that not on brand? What do you mean he prefer? What does he mean by cold? Like ice cold? Like frozen? Because most hot dogs, you know, I don't mind a room temperature hot dog. I don't want like a blazing hot dog. Speaking of, Steve Gelbs, and you know I love you, Steve. Great dude, despite the university that you went to. I mean, nobody's perfect, I guess. But despite that, Steve Gelbs on the broadcast tonight admitted something, that he doesn't like bacon. And I almost hit Steve up and I wanted to be like, Steve, when you make statements like that on the air that you don't like bacon, you know what kind of company and what kind of territory you're in? Sean Marash territory. Evan Roberts territory. It's not a boat you want to be in. If you're in a boat and you look around and you see Sean and Evan, you don't want to be there. Unless you're in the salary that they make. Then that's a good boat to be in. But as far as, especially Evan, but I mean, as far as what they do in their personal lives, you don't want to be in the same boat as them. And for somebody, now obviously bacon for religious reasons or you don't eat meat or whatever the case may be, fine. But if it's just a personal choice, you don't like it, meaning, that's territory of Sean and Evan. I think Sean doesn't like pickles. It's like, seriously? You don't like pickles? What don't you like about it? You're telling me you have a burger and you don't put pickles on it?
What if I told you I don't like pickles?
Is there any, okay, so there are some pickles I don't like. Do you not like any kind of pickle?
Correct.
Even the, what do they call them, almost like a deli pickle, like those small circle ones?
Yeah, no.
Nico, a Long Island guy, you strike me as a guy to get a nice hero, you know, a soft drink of choice. You telling me you don't like pickles at all?
No, I'm a picky eater. I don't like onions either.
Yeah, but I could get that as far as a breath situation. Please tell me you like bacon.
Yeah, I could do bacon. No tomato, though.
I'm with you on tomatoes. I'll eat a tomato, but if a tomato's on a burger, I will take it off. I'm not the biggest tomato guy, but I mean, bacon, well done. I mean, bacon is, you could put it on the burger, like we said. You can have it with breakfast. There's just so many different ways to enjoy bacon. I like it extra crispy, but if it's greasy, I don't mind it. There's really no way that I wouldn't eat bacon. But yeah, Gelb said that tonight, and I just feel like you end up in the boat with Marash and Evan and apparently Nico, where you don't like pickles, you don't like bacon, you eat your hot dogs cold, and it's just not a, it's not a category you want to be in. And Gary was basically appalled by that statement by Steve. He was appalled by it. You don't like bacon. And I get it. Bacon is one of those. I'm sure it's too where bacon is one of those things where, food items, where there are people that don't like it, but they're afraid to step up and say it because you will get the reaction that Gary Cohen gave. Well, I don't like bacon. How could you not like bacon? You know, who doesn't want to wear the ribbon? I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, if you don't like bacon, it could be a problem. The mob could come blah, easy for me to say here at midnight. The mob could come after you. I think there was a bunch of C words there in a row, and usually I'm good about that, but that one tripped me up. The mob can come after you. It could be a mutiny if you say, I don't like bacon. How could you not like bacon? Everybody loves bacon. Well, I think more people probably like it than you think. They might have a little bit of a trepidation of stepping up and saying they don't like bacon. But I love bacon. Like I said, I love it on a burger. I love it with eggs. I could just eat it on its own, although I prefer it with something. But I do like a bacon, crispy, well done, or with the grease just overflowing. Either way is good for me. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after. So I didn't see that picture, Sean. Long story short. Long story longer. I didn't see the picture of Evan with LeBron James and the net uniform on LeBron. One thing I will say right out of the gate here, and I have already seen it on social media, LeBron James is not coming to the Knicks, thank God, nor would I ever advocate for LeBron James to come to the Knicks. There was a time and a place I would have. That time and place is long gone. In fact, I want the Knicks to send LeBron James to the retirement home with a playoff loss. So whether he goes to Cleveland, whether he goes to Miami, or if he ends up with the Warriors, and certainly that would be a fun finals matchup, Knicks-Warriors, the Warriors having a super team, I would imagine. I mean, there's been rumblings that Anthony Davis could be joining LeBron if he goes to the Bay Area. So we'll find out. It's always about LeBron. And look, you can say what you want about the guy, but he's still an unbelievable player at this age. Really remarkable how great he is. And I think that's a testament to just his abilities and also the way he keeps in shape. But yeah, as far as the Knicks, so let's just put an end to that. I would not want not that it's happening, but I mean, I know that everybody likes to play that game sometimes. Anytime LeBron James is even remotely an option, it feels like the Knicks come up. But he actually realistically is one here because he has informed the Lakers this evening that he intends to sign with another team. So that's where we're at with that. But we'll get more into the basketball coming up because there was a major trade. A superstar is on his way out. He is joining an Eastern Conference team, a familiar team for him. We'll get into that. We'll get into that player. We'll get into more of the basketball because it is the start of free agency. So anything can happen. Really, I got you till 2 a.m., but we could get breaking news on Mitchell Robinson. We can get breaking news on major free agent signings, or we've already had two massive trades. I mean, John Morant went to the Trailblazers, and now the trade that I will bring up later involving a superstar has happened as well. It's one thing to tease something. It's another thing people are like, what the heck is he talking about? Kawhi Leonard's going to the Raptors or back to the Raptors. It happened a while ago, so I felt like it was a fair tease. But if I'm sitting here right now, you might be just joining us and saying, what the heck is he talking about? Was there a major trade in the last 5 minutes? Don't worry. This was earlier on. Kawhi Leonard now on the Raptors as the East has gotten better, no doubt about it. And it's continuing to get better. And we'll see where LeBron lands. I mean, Cleveland's an option. Miami's an option. There are plenty of landing spots. My gut is it's going to be Golden State. But, I mean, a return to Cleveland to the gutless, heartless, spineless, analytical Cavs is obviously something that makes some sense. Miami, a return to Miami to play with Giannis, to play with Bam, that makes a lot of sense as well. So we'll be on LeBron watch, but thankfully it won't be a Knick. That's for sure. That I can all but guarantee. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Lugie in the Late Night. If you're on hold right now, we will get to you. I know some of you have been waiting for a bit. I apologize for that. We'll get to you in the next segment. I promise right out of the gate. We're on for another 2 hours, but if you're on hold right now, we'll get to you right away. If you want to join the conversation, multiple ways to do that. You could either call up the station at 888-808-1019, or you could always tweet at the show, and by the show, I mean me. You could tweet at me, at Tommy Lugauer, L-U-G-A-U-E-R. We'll continue to take your calls on the Yankees as their June swoon continued. Tonight, they are now losers of six in a row. The Mets won a game in Toronto. Nolan McLean pitched quite well. We will start talking about the Mets in this next hour. Basketball, as I just teased in the last few minutes, we will expound upon it in the final couple hours of the show as well. There's plenty of breaking news and all things basketball happening around us as free agency has begun. 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie in the Late Night. The show is After Hours here on The Fan.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.